Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we're going to talk about a topic today that is near and dear to your heart.
Oh, it is. Well, two topics.
Well, it's a combination of
Combination of topics. That's right.
We're going to talk about the use of social media in middle schoolers.
In middle school children.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't pass this up.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw it, I said...
Well, you know, it makes me think of the book that you wrote with the principal, The Middle School Mind.
Right. Yeah.
So the name of this article is Why Social Media is Not Smart for Middle School Kids.
Yep. Love this idea.
It's from Psychology Today.
Right. And we parents, most of us, are struggling with this. I had a mother come up to me recently to talk about this issue. There's such an intense interest in this topic.
Right.
Parents are so concerned about their children's cell phone use. Mm-hmm. And most of that concern is about younger teens, the tweeners, those who are between late childhood and early adolescence, but also the early teenagers.
Right, right.
And these are really the most difficult teenage years,
right,
are the ones that immediately follow the onset of puberty.
Mm-hmm,
and typically puberty is 12 or 13 or 14 years of age, and there's this difficult two or three year period. So it's these young teenagers who may be most at risk with social media.
Right.
Now, define social media, though.
Well,
see, it's different. I mean, when we talk about kids using their cell phones, if they're using them to find directions or to locate a house or to look something up, that's one thing. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this using a cell phone. And I think for teenagers, it's mostly a cell phone.
Right, right.
Because they're part of that generation that's using computers less and relying more on cell phones for everything. So we're concerned about this social media, okay?
Right. So of course, when we're thinking about social media, we're talking about forms of interaction between individuals. So it's whether it's Snapchat or Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any of those. You know, there's dozens of them, if not more.
And it's how kids are connecting with each other socially, just with each other, not with Google or going to websites or things or going on YouTube.
Right.
It's more that they're communicating with each other.
Right.
And I always tell parents what we used to do with a black telephone. What do you remember black telephones?
No.
You don't?
What do you mean black telephones?
That sat on a table or a desk.
Oh, we had one. We had something on the wall, but it wasn't black. It was like a tan.
This is a different color. That's right. Well, in the old days, all there was a black phone that sat on a desk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wall phones came later. Extension cords came later. Mm-hmm. So you had this little black device that sat on it. It was heavy. It was made of Bakelite or something. It was hard plastic. And when we talked to each other, you spoke to one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the technology that you had, is you would pick up the phone and you would talk to a friend. But that was the only friend you could talk to. Once that conversation ended, it wouldn't pick up again until the next day. There was no way to communicate beyond that simple.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so when we think about our social relationships, they were done one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Today, kids can have that happening four or five times simultaneously.
Right, right. Through all these different forms of media.
Right.
Right, right. So what this column does, is, and it was written by a nurse who guest posted on Psychology Today, and she talks about some of the reasons why social media should be avoided with middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought we'd go through a couple of those.
Yeah, I think, because when as parents worry about telephone use, I can't imagine a elementary school kid even needing a telephone. I mean, I think it's especially a smartphone that's connected to the internet. No need to do that.
But they do. Many of them do.
I know, but...
Yeah. I mean, well, okay. It happens. So, we know it happens. So we're really talking about... This focuses on middle schoolers, but we're really talking about anybody under the... Anybody prior to high school,
right,
really.
Right.
We should maybe can generalize it to that.
Right, right, yeah. And this, and because social media is conducted on a smartphone.
Correct.
Okay, you need it. So the assumption is you have a smartphone if you're doing social media.
Usually,
because the thing, how else could you do it? iPad.
You do it on iPad. I mean, but, well...
Can they do it on iPod?
Yeah.
You can. Mm-hmm. But what form is it in? Texting.
Same. Oh, yeah. You could get Instagram and Snapchat and all those
on an iPod. iPod.
Right. Mm-hmm. iPod Touch type of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's different. So let's talk about some of these reasons why social media really isn't appropriate for middle schoolers. And the first thing is that she says that social media was not designed for middle schoolers.
That's right. That's number one.
That's like the first one.
What does she mean by that?
Well, she's saying that social media isn't... Social media is designed to interact for interactions with individuals for as we have already developed the skill of interaction.
That's right. We already know how to interact socially.
Right.
Okay. This just gives us a different way to do that.
Right. Right.
We've already developed the skills.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And then those skills are still developing through middle school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're learning how to interact, and this will kind of we'll revisit some of this. With some of the other points that she makes. But,
right.
You know, we have to develop those skills first.
Right.
And then we can be in a situation where we can... It reminds me of math. You know, in math, we have to learn... Students are always frustrated when the teacher tells you to... You have to show all of your work.
Right.
You have to do it the long way. Like, right. I remember when I was in stats class in grad school... They made us do correlation coefficients and everything by hand, which takes you fill a couple pages with one equation, and we had to do it by hand, and then you can do it on the computer, which takes like three clicks,
right?
And then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to learn the process first, and it's the same thing here. You've got to learn how to communicate and have social relationships first. Then you can go to the shortcuts.
And also, there's a maturity factor.
Right.
You know, that social media opens up parts of the world that maybe this age child is not ready to manage well yet. And so there's also that maturity factor. It wasn't designed for young kids.
Right.
Okay. There are things there that they really shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And so they don't have the maturity to handle it.
Right.
So that's one thing. It wasn't designed for kids.
Right. The second thing is that social media really is, and it's becoming more so, a form of entertainment.
Entertainment. Right.
My son and I were talking about this the other day because he's working on this class assignment, and we were talking about Snapchat. And,
right.
and on Snapchat, if you go to the suggestions,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's Forbes magazine and...
Snapchat.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. CNN and all this kind of stuff. And, you know... It's a form of entertainment and information dissemination and all of that.
Yeah.
It's not purely social anymore. It's entertainment. So you see pictures and you see videos that are really there just to entertain you,
right.
Not to inform you of anything or not to interact with other people specifically.
Right. And you're not becoming better at anything
right.
when you are on social media. And we tell kids that all the time. You know, when you're doing these things, I know it's like video games.
Mm-hmm.
Video games don't make you smarter.
Right.
They don't make you stronger. They don't make you healthier. They don't make you a better athlete. They're entertaining.
One day we'll get there.
But right now we're not. Right? And so video games are a form of entertainment.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with entertainment. As long as it doesn't overtake all the other things we're supposed to do. And social media is a form of entertainment.
Absolutely.
Again, in the right hands, used the right way, there's no problem with it.
Right.
But it is entertainment.
Right.
It's not scholarly activity or athletic activity.
Right. The third thing is that she talks about is the preteens more is better mentality.
Right.
So, you know, when you think about these, you know, 12-year-olds that have, you know, 1,500 friends and followers. It's like, do you really have 1,500 friends? They haven't even lived long enough to have that many interactions.
To know 1,500 people. Right.
So, you know, they want more and more and more.
Right.
And it dilutes. And it has consequences that, of course, can expose you to things that you shouldn't be exposed to, and put you in situations you shouldn't be in.
Yeah, having likes is what's... How many likes do I have? You know,
right.
That's what's really important to teens. Mm-hmm. You know, they take all these pictures, they send them out, and then how many likes can I get? Right. There's a wonderful book. Well, it's too much to go into. The Webster, The Devil in Webster. And it's a new book that's out. And they talk about the goal is to get likes.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm.
And as you say, for these young kids, more is better. So if I can get 100 likes, 200 likes, 300 likes. And, you know, the Kardashians, I've read something, have 4 million followers or something. So I guess that becomes the goal, is everybody wants to have 4 million followers. So, yes, it's more is better. Because for this age, they're not making qualitative distinctions. Mm-hmm. They just want to see who can get the most.
Right, right. And, it's there was a great episode of this Netflix show called Black Mirror.
Yes.
That's about social media likes and living in a future where everything is, your worth is based upon how many likes you have, and everything is really interesting.
But that's not fiction.
It's, I mean, very close.
Because you know how many likes other people are getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, she got 127 likes. So now I have to best that. I have to get 130 likes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's in a time when, like, even if you want to get a bank loan, they look at how many likes you have and how many followers you have. Yeah, it's a really interesting premise. So, now, the next thing is, it goes along with the idea that social media is a form of entertainment, but that it's an addictive form of entertainment. You know, we see preteens, teenagers as well, but we certainly see preteens who are just so connected to it that they can't put their phone down, they can't put it away. They are completely attached to it, and they can't.
And this
break
goes
themselves from it.
This goes back to my black phone hypothesis. Is that what many parents don't realize is that our children are communicating with in five or six different tentacles all at one time, and you have to stay connected to all of them, because if you don't, the other people are going to assume that you're no longer interested or you're no longer engaged, and so you get left out. So you have to maintain all of them. Whereas we did one relationship at a time, they're doing multiple relationships, and they're going on 24 hours a day.
Right.
That was the other big difference.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Which goes along with the next thing, which is the fact that, you know, we already talked about the importance of building relationships first.
Right.
The issue, the next issue that she talks about is really related to the hard work of building relationships, and the fact that, you know, when you're dealing with social media, if somebody upsets you, you can just not talk to them.
Right.
You can just ignore them. You can just block them. And in real life, you can't always do that.
Right.
And so it doesn't create a reality as it relates to how to deal with conflict and how to deal with those kinds of experiences.
That's right. Imagine if a child, say in third or fourth or fifth grade, is handed a smartphone and they begin to develop social relationships electronically. Well, that child still lives in a family.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't learn how to settle conflict in real time and face to face, they're going to treat family members as they treat these electronic relationships.
Right.
And that's happening in some families. You just walk away from people.
Right.
And you can't walk away. You have to settle these differences.
Mm-hmm.
But kids are walking away, which is analogous to blocking you on social media.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that takes us right to the next one. It's almost as if you read these. It's actually perfect, because the next one talks about how when tweens and preteens become so fixated on social media and their friends, quote unquote friends, that they start to lose connections with family members and other really important people in their life prematurely.
And that's something that's going to happen anyway.
Right.
You know, we know that the teenage years are the beginning of children separating, which is a normal, age-appropriate process anyway. So our teenagers are going to begin to move away from us and to their friends. But in a generation ago, friends were real people that you knew.
Mm-hmm.
Today, friends, and she... Right. appropriately puts it in quotes, friends are these others that who are connected to you electronically.
Right.
Okay. And so they now are replacing, but it's happening too soon. Mm-hmm. And they have way too many friends.
Right.
You know, so it's easy to give up family when you think you have 20 or 30 other people out there to rely on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now the last thing that she talks about is what she refers to as social media use represents lost potential for teens.
And that's what I keep preaching to my children.
Right.
Is it's, you're giving up a great deal.
Yeah.
To maintain these relations, these electronic relationships.
Yeah. You're giving up a lot of, not just time, you're giving up a lot of opportunities.
Right.
You're giving up a lot of healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. And you're giving up a lot of, as she said, potential, by being so focused and fixated on these relationships. And again, when we're thinking about preteens, they're at a developmental level where they're not fully, not cognizant, but they're not fully, cannot fully appreciate the importance of some of these other aspects of life. And so they would rather, you know, fixate and stay, plugged in or interact. Yeah, yeah. And it's just,
I have a question.
Unhealthy.
For you. Mm-hmm. You're a youth soccer coach.
Correct.
How old are the kids?
Now?
They're coach.
They're 16, 15, 16, right. 17.
Are they on their phones during a match?
During a match? No.
But what if they're just sitting on the bench?
No. We don't let them have their phones.
So do you have a policy?
It's more or less an unwritten policy, but yeah, they don't have they'll have their phones at the bench, but they will not be looking at it. Or
what if they did?
Then they will not play.
So during practice and during matches, these phones are put aside.
Correct.
And there's no phone use during practice or during a match.
Correct.
I have watched tennis players between matches, between sets, between games. Mm-hmm. Go to the side and go on their phones.
Wow.
Shouldn't happen.
No. No.
You lose concentration.
You lose focus. You lose... Because on my team, if you're sitting on the side, the important thing is that you're looking to see what's going on so that when you go in, you know how to correct a problem or to pick up right where that person was or whatever. So
they don't even... Mm-mm. Okay.
No.
Yeah, I've often wondered about that because if I was a coach... Mm-hmm. Especially a sport like tennis, where concentration and focus is so important. Once you get on into the tennis complex, turn your phone off.
Right.
Either leave it in your car or put it in your bag. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to see it as long as you're out here because you have to have a singular focus here.
Right.
Girls bring their phones onto the tennis courts.
Except for when they're asleep. My guess would be the 2.5 hours for like our Friday night practice, we're out there for about 2.5 to almost 3 hours. That's probably the longest spell of time that they go without their phone, without looking at it or anything. That would be my guess.
Right.
Because
I think one of the values is that they realize, they learn that they can exist for 2.5 hours without it. Life will go on even with a 2-hour break.
They'll survive.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when the parents say, well, during homework, you can't use your phone. For an hour,
right?
Say. They know that they can survive that because they do it at practice.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you tennis players out there, especially one that I know well, let's turn that off.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, no! Put it in your bag, turn it off, or leave it at home, leave it in the car, or turn it off and put it in your bag. At least during the several hours that you're at the matches.
Yeah.
Because you should be doing other things.
Yeah, definitely so.
And tennis coaches, if you're listening, we'll be happy to support that.
Yep. So, all right. Well, that's it for today.
Already?
You can check out the article. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. So if you have a preteen, definitely be thinking about this stuff.
Right.
So. All right. Well, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.